Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. And a special welcome to those of you who may be visiting our little village for the Hofbräu Fest. It's a big weekend in our little town, and we're glad that you're here. We're glad that we're able to gather together as God's people and begin our day in worship to hear His word and receive His gifts. Of course, what God does for us here is more important than any of the other millions of things that are going on this weekend, and we certainly recognize that. And we are thankful for the rain that God has sent us as well. We pray that we would not have to be too drenched later on today, but we are thankful that the rain has come to water the earth. And so we gather in thanks and praise to God for all of His good gifts. And today, we are going to follow Divine Service Setting 1, which in your hymnal starts on page 151. I invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Service continues now with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. We pray together. O Lord, you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual responsibly. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. The epistle reading is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, She pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. We now join together in singing our sermon hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading here in Mark chapter 6, picking up exactly where we left off last Sunday. And this passage before us today basically has two sections to it. The first part deals with the identity of Jesus. People are trying to figure out who Jesus is. Some people think that he's Elijah. Some people think that he's one of the prophets from the Old Testament. Herod seems to be convinced that Jesus is John the Baptist raised from the dead. And so that brings us to the second part of the passage, which talks all about the details of what happened when King Herod beheaded John at one of his banquets, his royal banquets. But what we see as we study a passage like this is essentially there's two different kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the world and there's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of the world that Herod is supposedly in charge of in his little corner of it is a kingdom that leads to death. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus rules over, is a kingdom that brings us eternal life. It's a kingdom where the king serves his people. Thanks be to God. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, every time we have an opportunity to gather together as God's people, to hear his word, receive his gifts, to worship him, every time we have an opportunity to remember the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us, shedding his blood on the cross for our sins and being our Savior, that is a day to celebrate. That is a day to give thanks. And so today is one of those days. But there's also these days, these Sunday mornings that come up on the church year calendar when sometimes it feels like things are a little bit more celebratory than at other times. And I would say that for us in our little corner of the world, in little Hoyleton, Illinois, this is one of those days, right? Because this is the Sunday, this is the weekend of the Hofbrau Fest, right? This is the greatest event put on by the greatest people in the world, the 53rd annual Hoyleton Hofbrau Fest. After a year of exile because of the pandemic, it has finally come back. This is the longest we've ever had to wait for the Hofbrau Fest to come around again in over half of a century, and come back it has in full force. It's been a great weekend. Lots of people are having a great time out there. Yes, we've had to deal with a little bit of the weather, but that's okay. Everybody's really excited today to sink their teeth into some fried chicken. You know, it's a good day. Life is good in Hoyleton this weekend. I got to tell you, someone who did not grow up around here, the Hofbrau Fest has always been impressive to me because it just seems like an event that would be really, really hard to pull off anywhere else. It takes a lot of volunteers working a lot of hours. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's not like the population of Hoyleton has grown exponentially lately, right? There's not that many people to pull from in order to make it happen, and yet it always happens. After you live here for a while, you start to get why. You know, there is the spirit of hard work and self-sacrifice. We see it all year long here in town. But the Hofbrau weekend is our opportunity to not just serve one another, but to actually serve the community around us, right? People come from miles around to Hoyleton to get a little piece of Germany and a lot of German potato salad, right? That's what people are excited about. So at the same time, it can be a little overwhelming for those who are here, who plan and prepare, have to get all the volunteers and all of that good stuff. I mean, let's be honest, we've got a reputation to uphold, right? People have come to expect a lot. The bar's been set high over the years. People expect the Hofbrau Fest to be awesome, and we want to honor that. We want to go above and beyond every single year, but there are moments along the way that can be a little overwhelming, and sometimes it can feel like we're in over our heads, which you might have noticed is the title of the sermon today. We all know what that feels like, to be overwhelmed, to be in over your head. I've certainly had that feeling before, not because of the Hofbrau Fest, right? I mean, this weekend, all I had to do was grill some burgers and sit in the soda stand for a couple hours. That's like a vacation for me, so that was no big deal. But as a pastor, I've had moments when I felt like I was in over my head. I would say one of those moments came earlier this week when I was sitting down, I was reading this gospel text here from Mark chapter 6, and I was trying to figure out how in the world am I going to preach this to the people today? Because I don't know if you noticed this, but this reading, the theme of this reading, the tone of this reading, is so different from the mood that we have in town this weekend. This is a really dark, twisted story. This is a story that is laced with sin, literally filled with death. Here we are just minding our own business on Hofbräu weekend, having a good time, and then, boom, we get slapped with the beheading of John the Baptist as our gospel reading. I mean, we didn't see that one coming. This is a passage that you might think would come up, I don't know, during the Lenten season or something like that. But no, we get to talk about it today. But if we take a look at this passage and see beyond just the graphic details that Mark gives us here, we can start to see some really important connections in this text, because a story like this, when we study it, it can help us to see even more about who Jesus is, which really is the way that we should approach any passage in Scripture, right? By understanding what King Herod does, the bad decisions he makes, the bad leadership, right? Just how bad of a king he is. It actually gives us more of an appreciation for our true king, for King Jesus, and the way that Jesus exercises his kingly authority over his kingdom and all of his royal subjects, which of course include all of us. Something that you notice about King Herod in this text is that it looks like King Herod is in over his head too. I mean, he might sit on his throne, he might act all high and mighty and powerful, but when you study the life of King Herod, you find out that this is a guy who really didn't have much authority at all. This is a guy who really didn't have much control over his life, over his situation. He kind of just lets himself get jerked around by everybody. I mean, he's a king, but he's only kind of a king. He's kind of a pseudo-king, because in those days, everybody knew, in the days of Jesus, that the person who actually had authority and power to make things happen in the world was Caesar in Rome. So there's nothing that King Herod can do in Judea unless Caesar says it's okay, right? So he's not really in control even of his own kingdom. And then on top of that, he seems like he's completely out of control when it comes to his personal life. He marries his sister-in-law, Herodias, and as the king of the Jews, this was problematic because this was clearly in violation of Jewish law. And John the Baptist, being the prophet of the Lord, speaks the truth. He calls him out on it, and he ends up getting thrown in jail because of that. But it's interesting because when you look at this passage, it's clear that Herod didn't even really want to do that. Herod didn't want to throw John in jail. Herod actually liked John. The only reason why he threw John in jail was because of this grudge that his wife Herodias was holding against John, and he was worried about that. So it says in verse 20, it says, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. So Mark is telling us in so many words that if Herod had gotten his way, John would have been a free man. But so often, Herod did not get his way because, like I said before, Herod was in over his head. Which then leads you, of course, to the big story in the text, which is the story of this birthday party, this royal banquet that Herod throws for himself, which I'm sure was nothing like the Hofbräu Fest at all. But there is an interesting comparison you can make here, because I don't know if you know this, but I was curious as to what Hofbräu Fest meant, and so I looked this up, and evidently the Hof in Hofbräu refers to like a court, like a royal court, and then the brow, of course, is the beer. So the Hofbräu is the beer that you would serve in the royal court. So essentially, what Herod is doing on his birthday is he's throwing himself a little Hofbräu Fest, right? Except they wouldn't have had a beer garden, right? They would have had wine, and they wouldn't have had a washers tournament and the Baku bottom band playing, right? But for entertainment, unfortunately, they brought in Herod's stepdaughter, who ends up dancing for all of the men, and we don't have to get in all the details on that. But the point is, once again, because of this, Herod ends up getting himself painted into a corner. He's in over his head. He wants to impress all of his guests. And so he's probably also a little bit under the influence of the wine, and so he just kind of blurts out, hey, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. As if Herod actually had something to give away. As if Herod was really even in control of his own kingdom. He just says, I'm going to give you whatever you want, up to half of your kingdom. And when she talks to her mother, Herodias, and comes back and asks for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, it says right there in verse 26 that King Herod is exceedingly sorry. Because he knows that he messed up. He knows that this is unjust. He knows that this is unfair. And yet, just like in so many aspects of Herod's life, he is powerless. Powerless to stop it. All he cares about is his worldly status, what other people are going to think of him, his reputation, his honor in the eyes of his guests. And ironically, he ends up doing something terribly dishonorable in order to try to preserve that honor. It's really, really a sad story. And if that's all we had to go on, and we didn't know the rest of the story, and Mark just ended his gospel here at verse 29 with John's disciples coming to pick up what was left of his body to bury it, if that's all we had, it'd be pretty hard for me to look up after reading the gospel and saying, this is the gospel of the Lord. But like I said before, this passage about King Herod helps to teach us something about Jesus, King Jesus. It helps us to trust in King Jesus even more. Because in stark contrast to this powerless birthday boy king, Jesus Christ actually does have power. He actually does have authority to not only be in control of his own destiny, but actually to change the entire world. If we think things like the Hofbräufest are impressive, people gathering to, you know, work hard, not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of others, what we see King Jesus do for the benefit of the people in his kingdom is absolutely unfathomable. Because Jesus isn't doing anything for earthly reputation, for worldly gain. He's not interested in military might or wealth or status or any of that. In fact, he willingly gives it all up for you. He willingly allows the forces of darkness to overtake him on Good Friday. He willingly goes to the cross. He willingly sheds his blood and dies for you, to serve you. This is what Jesus does. And as he does those things, he's not in over his head. When King Jesus dies on the cross, what is over his head? There's a sign there, a sign that speaks the absolute truth. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's something that Herod tried to be and never could have been. Herod would have loved to be considered the true King of the Jews. Unfortunately, it wasn't for him. It's for Jesus. The results of the two kingdoms speak for themselves. The kingdom of Herod is a kingdom that leads to death for John the Baptist and for others. The kingdom of Jesus is the kingdom that brings us everlasting life. And so that needs to be our perspective every single day. But I would say especially today, especially on this last day of the Hofbräufest, as we have all of this excitement going on and all of the hard work and the fellowship and the good food and all of those things, we need to remember that the greatest blessing of this day is not what our town is able to accomplish. The greatest blessing of this day and every day is what the Lord accomplishes among us. The greatest meal that we will receive today is not going to be made of fried chicken. The greatest meal comes here, the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you. The greatest prize that you will take home with you today is not going to be what you win at the quilt auction or when your name gets called at the raffle. The greatest prize that we receive is the renewal of our souls, the refreshing of our spirits, the assurance that we will never be in over our heads. Because of Jesus, we live under the true head, the true King, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We continue our service now as we speak the words of our common Christian faith, and this morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. Those words are printed for you on page 158 or on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, I do have a number of updates for you, just a couple of them. First, today we will be including, this is not printed in the bulletin, but we'll be including Roy Dale. Roy is a member of our congregation who last week suffered a pretty bad fall and had to be airlifted to Barnes in St. Louis, where he still is. Now, he is improving, and it looks like he may have a surgery to undergo on his rotator cuff coming up soon. He is going to have a long recovery, and so we'll certainly be lifting up him and his family in our prayers. And then we also today will be including Paxton Kincaid. That is the son of Rachel and Clay Kincaid. Paxton is going to have a hernia repair tomorrow, so we'll certainly be lifting him up in our prayers as well. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Preserve your church, O Lord, for your name's sake, in your righteousness and answering in your faithfulness. Since you have sent us forth in this world to testify to your word, let us find conviction and confidence in our confession that salvation is found in the forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy, sustain the preachers you send, O Lord. Make them bold to proclaim your law against sin, and grant that your Spirit would work powerfully in that word to humble the proud and bring them to repentance, that they would hear the gospel and receive the forgiveness of sins won for them by Christ. Vindicate all who suffer for continuing steadfast in their callings, and keep us from despising your word. And bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Nashville and TSJ Lutheran School. Bless their call process as they seek their next pastor, and bless the efforts of Pastor James Miller as he serves in the interim. Lord, in your mercy, you, O Lord, are king over all the earth. You are in control over all nations, rulers, and people. Spare our nation and its leaders, O Lord. Let the conduct of our civil servants and of our people be wise, just, honorable, and in accord with your revealed will. For the sake of Christ, be merciful to those who oppose you, and remember that you desire all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Guide and protect the members of the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for sending us the rain in these last few days. We pray that you would use it to bring life to the earth and to the crops that are growing. We continue to ask for safety for those who work in the fields. And we acknowledge that all gifts of life and health come from you and you alone. And so we lift before you today all those who are celebrating birthdays among us, including Ferris, Gail, Sarah, Ashley, Vicky, Eileen, Earl, Paxton, and Lindsay. Continue to sustain them in the years ahead. Lord, in your mercy, emboldened by our adoption through Jesus Christ, O Father, we bring before you every need of body and soul. Lavish the riches of your grace on all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Lorna, Laura, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you Roy as he recovers in the hospital and as he looks ahead to an upcoming surgery, that you would keep him safe. We also lift before you Craig as he recovers from his recent surgery, and Paxton as he looks ahead to his surgery tomorrow. Be with him and his parents. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, all those who are fighting cancer. Lord, in your mercy, you have blessed us, O Father, in your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. As you have sealed us with the promised Holy Spirit for an eternal inheritance in him, bring us now in repentance and faith to receive your Son's true body and blood, to be strengthened to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory found on the bottom of page 159. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, You lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 164. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 819, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good. Thank you. Good morning. I know everybody's anxious to get over to the park, so I'll just make these announcements very brief. First thing I wanted to mention is my family's going on vacation this week, so we're actually leaving town tomorrow. We're heading out to Myrtle Beach for some rest and relaxation. And just wanted to let you know that if anything comes up while I'm gone, if there's any pastoral emergencies, Pastor Roger Drennan, who is the pastor at Olive Branch in Frogtown, he's going to be covering for me, and his cell phone number is published there in the bulletin for you. Next Sunday, the guest preacher will be Pastor Perry Schefelker. Some of you might remember him. He's come to preach here a number of times, and he was, once upon a time, the assistant pastor in Centralia. Also, along with that, there will be no midweek Bible study this week since I'm gone, so Wednesday morning we will not have that Bible study. We'll resume that on July 21st. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that next Sunday's Bible class is going to be very special. We have Christy Hofferber, who is the wife of Pastor Mark Hofferber at Trinity Hoffman. She's also a representative of the St. Louis Coalition for Life. She's been involved in life issues in the St. Louis area for a number of years, and she works right now, they've been doing a lot of work outside of the new Planned Parenthood facility that was built in Fairview Heights. She's going to come and give a presentation on all of the things that they are doing in this area, and to also give you some ideas of ways that you might be able to get involved. And so it's going to be very informational. I think it's going to be very special. So I encourage you to come and join us here in the sanctuary at 8:30 next Sunday. If you can't join us live and in person, you can join us on Facebook, or you can watch it on demand as well, because that's the world we live in now. So that's good. Tomorrow night is meeting night. Stewardship is at 6 o'clock. Board of Ed is at 6:30. No elders tomorrow night because elders met last week. And the other thing, one more thing. Oh, sorry, two more things. We do have the enrollment. There's an enrollment day for school this Tuesday from 8 in the morning until 6:30 p.m. So Jane will be making herself available for any families who would like to enroll for our school, Trinity Lutheran School. And the last thing is that there's going to be a blood drive, and that will be taking place on Thursday, July 22nd. It will be in the community building over in the park, so not over here. It'll be at the community building. If you need any more information, you can check the Red Cross website or their app. They have an app. You can sign up there, or you can call Aggie Baining. She's been the one that's kind of been putting this one together. Are there any other announcements? All right, let's go have some chicken. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Joining us.
Have a blessed week.